Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday.
Yeah, but the one in March is going to be the final. They're shutting the place down there. So it's a toy run on Saturday, but the one in March is just simply a, hey, let's all get together, shake hands, and say goodbye to an icon, a place we could always go and have a good time. So people coming in from all over. No special reason. Just a chance to say, let's party at the Roadhouse in San Bernardino, Yucaipa. And let's bring another of the motorcycle genres down. I'll give a copy of that flyer later so you can put that in your
record. You know, Bill, I wanted to show you something. And like I said, I just got here. And we're checking things out. But I wanted you to check this out, and I wanted your opinion on this.
I'm very opinionated. There's no problem with that.
Okay. Right here.
Big Bear Choppers out of business update. Now, this is by Cyril Hughes, H-U-Z-E.
Cyril Hughes.
Cyril Hughes. I said Hughes, yeah. You know, we need to see if we can contact somebody from Big Bear and all that, because we don't have the full information.
They're gone, Bill.
Yeah,
they aren't even answering the phone.
Well,
and on this site here, they put Mona's personal cell phone number up.
Yeah.
And somebody asked for it to be taken down. I guess, well, you're here. You can talk about that right there.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that yet because I'm reading this, but I don't have enough personal information on the situation. Most of the Big Bear Choppers went belly up.
Right.
And now they're trying to do some reorganization and stuff with that.
There ain't no reorganization, Bill. They already opened another place.
Well, that's a reorganization. Like they started somewhere else. But I don't know enough fun information about it, so I don't want to talk about it, you know. So you can talk about it if you want, but I don't have enough information yet on it. Until we get more information on it. Or if Kevin from Big Red Choppers.
You can read this guy's comment.
I don't want to read a comment for somebody. I don't know this guy.
You know this guy.
I don't know this guy, and so I want somebody from Big Bear Choppers to call in, because we are getting, listen, guys, we're getting a lot of negative shit, and I'm trying to be very open-minded about it, so if somebody from Big Bear wants to talk about it, give us a call. Let us know. Or if some of the people that have been doing business with Big Bear, maybe they want to call up. Customers want to talk about it. But we'll give them the benefit of the doubt until I get some more information on it. It's just...
Well, you know, there's...
I know people are upset, but I don't have enough, you know...
Yeah. Because there's phone numbers here, Bill. There's everything, okay? And as of right now, would you believe the Better Business Bureau, Bill, if they told you what an F rating?
I never heard of an F rating, shit.
Wow. Are you surprised? Read it for yourself.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a thing in it.
Yes, there is. Okay. Yeah. The business is not BBB, Better Business Bureau accredited, was revoked because the business failed to honor its accreditation agreement with BBB. They already filed three complaints. They gave them an F rating, Bill, because there's 1, 2, 5, 13.
Yeah.
13, 16, 18. 19,
sorry, this situation has been deteriorating.
20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 20, 32 complaints, Bill.
Guys, maybe we can get somebody from Big Bear or somebody that wants to come in and talk about this so we can get both sides.
Well, as Gomer Pyle said, Bill, surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah. All we're getting is one side of the story. So if they got something that they want to discuss.
There is no one side of the story.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, we need to get
additional
somebody.
Complaint information.
Maybe some of the management people from Big Bear could get to talk about this, because we are simply getting flooded with everybody calling us talking about this here. So if anybody from Big Bear that wants to get, talk to us about it, some of the management people,
Bill, this is really frustrating, Bill. Now, first they're telling you about the Better Business Bureau accreditation. Now we got law enforcement agencies posted above with detectives' names in the San Bernardino County District Attorney's Office. If you have been defrauded, these law enforcement are waiting. The FBI in Los Angeles, the United States Department of Justice, the Assistant United States Attorney. You can call the FBI Riverside. Here's the number for them.
Well, anybody from the management company of Big Bear. Let's get on here. Let's try to clear a little bit of this up here. People have been beating us on the airways, asking us to talk about it, and I'm trying very open-minded to give you a forum. The owners and the management people like that. Let us hear your side of the story, because we are simply getting beat up here with people complaining, and I want to try to get both sides. Okay.
Well, you know, yeah, but you know, okay. Well, here, you know about this one, right? This one happened in January, Bill. Same scenario. Former Midwest Chopper owner, he spent 3.5 years in prison. He was accused by 40 customers, including 9 U.S. clients based in New Zealand, to have received a total of $1.2 million of down payments for custom bikes that were never built before the company went bankrupt. So this guy was taking the money still, knowing he was going to go out the door. And according to that story, their previous story, a week before they shut the doors, they took money from a guy. Knowing they were going to take that money.
Now, let me talk about this. This is the story. Just say he's in jail now. This is out of
Midwest
Choppers. Okay.
Illinois.
Now, if he went bankrupt, why is he doing time?
Because he took the money.
Instead of going to trial,
because
he pleaded guilty.
No.
Yeah, okay.
The customers, the non-U.S. clients based in New Zealand, wired the money, Bill.
Right.
Okay? So that's considered wire fraud.
Oh, okay. That's why. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, no, I got you. No, yeah. I didn't associate the European connection.
He has to pay one more than a million in restitution to the victims and just shy of 3.5 years in prison for fraud charges.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Well, if anybody, visualization, like to talk about that too, we'd be glad to hear your side of the program. Or if any customers want to talk about that one. But this case here, this guy he's in jail now, so I'm comfortable. But Kevin and Big Bear, I'm going to try to leave that door open a little bit more because maybe somebody wants to talk about it or not. We'll work on that. But that's got to be something we've got to discuss in the near future because it's going every single week. We're getting beat up with all these people complaining.
And the other thing I wanted to talk about was I got another email today, Bill. Actually, I got three. Someone wanted to know. This guy's name is Thelonious Monk, Bill.
Oh, okay.
Okay? And somebody asked if we'd play this again, so I'm going to play it right now.
Thelonious Monk, wherever you are, Thelonious Monk. You're okay with us.
United States government. No. $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal. This isn't Democratic or Republican. This is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying theirs. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you, all the black people is proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. It's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why it's 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only is y'all not paid the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light. But you see how fucking hot it is? I'm pissed the fuck. I can't.
You know, let me point something out here. I got to bring this up here. I don't want to tell anybody what to do or how to do their lifestyle because I'm far from perfect. But you and I have talked about this on so many times. Our personal choice is to buy American cars and trucks, American motorcycles. I try to shop with the companies right here in America.
Right.
And we try to ignore that outsourcing bullshit. Stay away from these people. Every time you buy a foreign product, you're taking a possible job away from America. I can't make this more simple.
Let's examine the toilet.
Everybody, let's get back to American pride.
Because
let's go to the small drugstore, the small hardware store. Buy something.
I do.
American.
I don't go to the big store. I go to the hardware store. Yeah. I go to the one in Carlsbad.
I don't know how much money Walmart needs to make.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, they've got it all. And every time a Walmart comes into the local area, they kill a mom-and-pop store.
Right.
I may pay slightly more in a mom-and-pop store, but if I think they're buying the products from America, and if they're Americans, I don't care what nationality they are, or color they are, creed they are, religion, they're Americans, that's all I ask. But everybody out there listening, if you would try to just focus a little bit more on American products. Now, for all those guys who get Harley Davidson say, well, you know, I buy Harley parts, and they say, made in Taiwan and Pakistan. I know. It can't be perfect. Can't be perfect about it, but try to make a little bit. What's jumping in here, making some noise here? What are you doing here, Google?
Well, we've got another.
Let's examine the tool that the Democrats use to fool the American people. Talk about peace out there who, like me, are the little guys that the Democrats claim to care so much about. Let it be known that this is one of the tools that they use to keep you suckered. The notion that the Democrats are for the poor and Republicans are for the rich. I got to remind you of this because it seems that the liberals still want to play that game. Okay. Now, if Republicans are for the rich, then that must mean that they need the rich to keep their power. And if they need the rich to keep their power, then that must mean that they need to keep the rich rich to keep their power. Okay, well, liberals, be fair now. If that's the case, if Democrats are for the poor, then that must mean that they need the poor. And they need to keep the poor that way to keep their power. And yes, it is worth it for the Democrats to keep it that way. It's worth over $11 trillion for them to keep it that way. That's how much money has been spent on the war on poverty. Yet after all that money spent, people are still in a state of financial discontent. So you liberals who don't trust and hate the government so much want to give the government more power to reach into our pockets, take whatever it is that they convince us it's okay to take out, put most of it in their pocket, and then put some of it in the pocket of somebody else who didn't work for it. Obama and the rest of those in the Democrat Party want to downplay trickle-down economics. And as we can see, what he's offering is socialism, or what we're going to call now is trickle-up economics. And this is even going to go beyond trickle-up economics. What Obama is offering is evaporative economics. An economic plan that's going to put us in a financial desert where it yields very little precipitation, you dig? So check this out. A company that makes $250,000 or less is not small business. That's teeny tiny business. Y'all, there are a heck of a lot more businesses making over $250,000 a year, which means a lot of people are going to get taxed hard. We ought to start calling Barack Obama Joe the Plumber, because this tax plan is going to bend America over and lay some serious pipe, you know what I'm saying? You think the middle class ain't going to feel the effects of the taxes that are about to be imposed on everything? Obama and the Democrats have got you drunk with the idea that you're about to get a piece of somebody else's pie. Obama and the Democrats have made you happy to be a bunch of little dogs waiting to get the scraps off of somebody else's table. Obama and the Democrat Party are the ones who stand above you holding up the head of the rich as you work yourselves into a frenzy so they can toss it to you. Now, I'm just wondering, how does this make your life better as you destroy the ones who can give you jobs? Had y'all not read the story of the goose and the golden egg, y'all are about to cut open the goose and lose everything. Have you forgotten the Ten Commandments? One of those commandments being, thou shalt not covet. Y'all are desiring to take away from the rich until they have nothing, which means you will have nothing. I know there's still some Christian Democrats out there. The liberals haven't driven it from you fully yet.
Such a feeling, you know this to be true.
To my Christian Democrats, these liberal elitists look down on you. They think that you're stupid enough to believe that dinosaurs existed 4,000 years ago. Now, I know a lot more Christians than these people do, and I don't know one Christian that believes that dinosaurs existed 4,000 years ago. Senior citizens, you think the Democrats care about you? Look at how they're coming after John McCain because he's too old to know how to use a computer. But as far as they're concerned, John McCain is obsolete, and he got to go along with the rest of you. Oh, and to my senior citizens, come on now. Y'all know that y'all make a lot of medical visits, which means, of course, you'll be making a lot of use of Barack Obama's health care plan. They're going to see you as a burden on their system. Now, does it absolutely suck when you try to get insurance, you have a pre-existing condition, and you can't get it? Yes, it sucks bad, but you're sadly mistaken if you think the government can't deny you either. And, of course, if you're dissatisfied with the government's treatment, how do you plan to hold them accountable? It's going to be kind of hard to challenge them after all the power you've given them. Come on, y'all, do you really think you're going to benefit from this liberal health care plan? Liberals are the ones who are always saying that we have a population problem. They can't wait for old folks to die. Liberals got this Planned Parenthood clinic set up all over the place to make sure that people of lesser stature don't breed and bring their little children into the world. And then with the little Down syndrome baby fever, that's her. You know, she should have aborted her child. I can't stand her. That's right. You got these liberals that believe that if you find out that your child has Down syndrome during your pregnancy, you should kill that child. My wife brought it to my attention. wouldn't that qualify as a hate crime? And for those of you who want to attack Sarah Palin and her daughter, you just remember that Barack Obama's mama was a 17-year-old unwed mother. And you know what? God bless her. Now, we know that those circumstances aren't ideal, but we certainly don't hate Barack Obama's mother for it, or Barack Obama himself for it, for that matter. Liberals think that Joe the Plumber is dirt. What cracks me up, though, is that they want to make some crazy comparison. Well, it's all John McCain's fault. John McCain is the one who mentioned his name over 20 times. John McCain mentioned his name over 20 times in a positive light to reach out to Joe the Plumber and those who could relate to him. What's wrong with that? Barack Obama and his camp are trying to destroy Joe the Plumber and make an example of Joe the Plumber to let you all know that if you want to try to question Barack Obama and the Democrat Party, this is what you're going to get. And this is the kind of government that you want. And y'all want to try to call George Bush a fascist? You liberals wouldn't know fascism or oppression if it sat down with you to smoke a bowl. George Bush has never tried to have anybody silenced or destroyed for questioning him or dissing him for the past 8 years. Barack Obama's only on his campaign and he's having somebody destroyed. What do you think he's going to be able to do as president? Oh, but no, not Barack Obama. He's the most merciful community organizer like Jesus Christ. Ignore the fact that people swear that racism is so prevalent in our society today. Yet despite that prevalent racism, here comes Barack Obama, who has such a shady history and doesn't seem to have that much to put on his resume, and is about to step into the seat of power in the United States of America. If racism is bad as you swear it is, then you've got to understand that Barack Obama ain't doing this on his own. And you want to accuse George Bush of being a puppet? Barack Obama is a puppet. See, Barack Obama is a tool. The Democrat Party has an agenda that a lot of us don't agree with. But if you try to challenge that agenda, all they got to do is just look at Barack Obama and say, did you hear what they did? They challenged you. They must be racist. Oh, yes, your messianic community organizers got some real change coming for you. They're going to bring upon this change by playing on your guilt, and not much good is going to come from that. Now, I'd like to point out a fundamental difference between the two community organizers, Jesus Christ and Barack Obama. America's in a state of discontent. We're not at peace, and both the community organizers know that. See, Jesus Christ says, I want you to take all that hurt and all that blame, all that hate and all that shame, and I want you to put it on me. You just go ahead and stack it on me because you can't carry it. But your load will have to be light to ensure your ascension into heaven. Whereas Barack Obama and the Democrat Party take all that hurt, all that blame, all that hate, and all that shame and lay it on you to make sure your load is heavy, to ensure your ascension into hell. Now, I got something to say about those people who keep telling me, why don't you vote for John McCain? He's not even really a conservative. Y'all, I know that John McCain isn't as conservative as we'd like, but Barack Obama is no kind of conservative. Dang, y'all, do you always run a touchdown off the kickoff? You may have to take a few downs before you get to the end zone. We may not gain all the yards that you want with McCain, but we don't lose yards with him. You know what I'm saying? And those that are pulling for Chuck Baldwin or Bob Barr, look, I understand that y'all want to make a strong stance for conservatism. I feel you. But here's the thing, y'all. Y'all are about to do the right thing at the wrong time. You're going to screw us. And when I say us, I mean the U.S. What are y'all trying to do, man? You trying to make a point? You trying to teach us a lesson? You gonna show us what a real conservative is supposed to be? Y'all are gonna compromise the security of our nation by ensuring the victory for Barack Obama just so you can make a point. And then, of course, there's the hatred that comes towards me. You know, the big sellout and Uncle Tom and stuff. A black man that sells death in the form of drugs to another black man, that's a sellout. A black man that sells another black woman on the street, that's a sellout. A black man that says that he loves his black sister so much but gets her knocked up and leaves her to raise that child on her own, that's a sellout. Rappers that have these videos that have these beautiful black women in them but show that the only thing that they're good for is smearing their booty all up in the camera, that's a sellout. Black men who claim to love God, yet the only time they lift their eyes is when they're looking up at the stripper up on the stage or when he tilts their head back to finish off their 40, that's a sellout. I get hit with stuff like, I bet even your woman is white. Before you go claiming that and go off having a problem with it, then you should have a problem with Barack Obama's daddy, because Barack Obama's mama was white. And if a black man and a white woman is an unholy union to you, then according to your arbitrary doctrine, Obama should be an abomination.
Wow. Where, which point can we start at? My God almighty. I do want to point out that all what he's talking about is interesting, but we didn't talk about what scares me.
No.
Donald Trump.
Right.
Donald Trump says if we, the Republican Party, cannot put something together, he will step in to beat Obama. I don't want Donald Trump anywhere near my government. No. I don't think that's...
And the other one, somebody wanted to hear dealing with homelessness.
Lock a lot of motherfuckers up. Everybody wants more prisons. Well, why not? What's wrong? What's the problem? What's wrong with having a prison in your neighborhood? Well, it seemed to me like it would make it a pretty crime-free area, don't you think? You think a lot of crackheads and muggers and pimps and hookers are going to hang around in front of a fucking prison? Bullshit, they ain't going anywhere near it. What's wrong with these people? All the criminals are locked up behind the walls, and if a couple of them do break out, what do you think they're going to do? Hang around? Check real estate trends? Bullshit, they're fucking gone. That's the whole idea of breaking out of prison, is to get the fuck as far away as you possibly can.
Not in my backyard. People don't want anything near them. Except military bases. They don't mind that, do they? No, they like that. Give them an army base. Make them happy. Why? Jobs. Jobs. Self-interest. Even if the base is loaded with nuclear weapons, they don't give a fuck. They say, well, I'll take a little radiation if I can get a job. Working people have been fucked over so long in this country, those are the kind of decisions they're left to make. I got just a place for low-cost housing. I have solved this problem. I know where we can build housing for the homeless. Golf courses. Perfect. Golf courses. Just what we need. Plenty of good land in nice neighborhoods. Land that is currently being wasted on a meaningless, mindless activity engaged in primarily by white, well-to-do male businessmen who use the game to get together to make deals to carve this country up a little finer among themselves. I am getting tired. Really tired. I am getting tired of these golfing cocksuckers in their green pants and their yellow pants and their orange pants and their precious little hat and their cute little golf cart. It is time to reclaim the golf courses from the wealthy and turn them over to the homeless. Golf is an arrogant, elitist game, and it takes up entirely too much fucking room in this country. Too much fucking room in this country. It is an arrogance game on its very design alone. Just the design of the game speaks of arrogance. Think of how big a golf course is. The ball is that fucking big. What do these pin-headed pricks need with all that land? There are over 17,000 golf courses in America. They average over 150 acres apiece. That's over 3 million acres. That's 4,820 square miles. You could build two Rhode Islands and a Delaware for the homeless on the land currently devoted to this meaningless, mindless, arrogant, elitist, racist. There's another thing. The only blacks you'll find in country clubs are carrying trays. And a boring game for boring people. Do you ever watch golf on television? It's like watching flies fuck. And a mindless game. Mindless. Think of the intellect. Think of the intellect it must take to draw pleasure from this activity. Hitting a ball with a crooked stick and then walking after it. And then hitting it again. I say, pick it up, asshole. You're lucky you found the fucking thing. Put it in your pocket and go the fuck home. Go the fuck home. You're a winner. No chance of that happening. Dorko and the plaid knickers is going to hit it again and walk some more. Let these rich cocksuckers play miniature golf. Let them fuck with a windmill for an hour and a half or so. See if there's any real skill among them. I know there are some people who play golf who don't consider themselves rich. Fuck them! And shame on them for engaging in an arrogant, elitist pastime. Hey, here's another place we could put some low-cost housing. Cemeteries. There's another idea whose time has passed. Saving all the dead people in one part of town? What the hell kind of a superstitious, religious, medieval bullshit idea is that? Plow these motherfuckers up. Plow them into the streams and rivers of America. We need that phosphorus for farming. If we're going to recycle, let's get serious.
George Carlin, what a strange and wonderful man.
Yes.
Now, I really don't care much about that golf stuff, but I haven't thought much about that cemeteries. We're wasting a lot of time in that cemeteries. I think maybe we all got to go back to the point where cremation, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
well, you know, it's the same thing he's talking about, that, Bill, but he also talks about rights. You wanna hear what he's got to say about rights, Bill?
I haven't heard. Yeah. Let me hear about that.
Customs. Swearing on the Bible. You understand that shit? They tell you to raise your right hand, place your left hand on the Bible. Does this stuff really matter? Which hand? Does God really give a fuck about details like this? Suppose you put your right hand in the Bible and you raise your left hand. Would that count? Or would God say, sorry, wrong hand, try again? And what? Why does one hand have to be raised? What is the magic in this gesture? This seems like some sort of a primitive voodoo mojo shtick. Why not put your left hand on the Bible, let your right hand hang down by your side? It's more natural. Or put it in your pocket. Remember what your mother used to say? Don't put your hands in your pockets. Does she know something we don't know? Is this hand shit really important? Well, let's get back to the Bible, America's favorite national theatrical prop. Suppose the Bible they hand you to swear on is upside down, or backward, or both, and you swear to tell the truth on an upside down backward Bible. Would that count? Suppose the Bible they hand you is an old Bible and half the pages are missing. Suppose all they have is a Chinese Bible in an American court, or a Braille Bible and you're not blind. Suppose they hand you an upside-down, backward Chinese Braille Bible with half the pages missing. At what point does all of this stuff just break down and become just a lot of stupid shit that somebody made up? They fucking made it up, folks. It's make-believe. It's make-believe. Now, all right. Okay. Let's leave the Bible aside. We'll get back to the science fiction reading later. The more important question is, what is the big deal about swearing to God in the first place? Why does swearing to God mean you're going to tell the truth? Wouldn't affect me. If they said to me, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God, I'd say, yeah. I'll tell you about as much truth as the people who wrote that fucking Bible. How do you like that? Swearing on the Bible doesn't mean anything. It's kids. Swearing to God is kid stuff. Did you remember when you were a kid? If you told another kid something he didn't quite believe, he'd say, "You swear to God?" I would always say, "Yeah, I swear to God," even if I was lying. Why not? What's going to happen if I lie? Nothing. Nothing happens if you lie, unless you get caught, and that's a whole different story. Sometimes a kid would think he was being slick with me, and he'd say, "You swear on your mother's grave?" I'd say, yeah. Why not? First of all, my mother was alive. She didn't even have a grave. Second of all, even if she was dead, what's she going to do? Rise from the grave and come and haunt me? Come and haunt me? All because I told a lie to an 8-year-old? Get fucking real, will you? Sometimes I would say, "I swear on my mother's tits." Kids are impressed with things like that. I mean, I don't care about my mother's tits either. I don't care if they fell off. Fuck her. Not my problem. They're your tits, Ma. You keep an eye on them. Swearing to God doesn't mean anything. Swearing on the Bible doesn't mean anything. You know why? Because Bible or no Bible, God or no God, if it suits their purposes, people are going to lie in court. The police do it all the time. All the time. Yes, they do. It's part of their job to protect, to serve, and to commit perjury whenever it supports the state's case. Swearing on the Bible is just one more way of controlling people and keeping them in line, and it's one more thing that holds us back as a species. Here's one more item for you, the last in our civics book, rights. Boy, everyone in this country is always running around yammering about their fucking rights. I have a right. You have no right. We have a right. They don't have a right. Folks, I hate to spoil your fun, but there's no such thing as rights, okay? They're imaginary. We made them up, like the boogeyman. The three little pigs, Pinocchio, Mother Goose, shit like that. Rights are an idea. They're just imaginary. They're a cute idea. Cute. But that's all. Cute and fictional. But if you think you do have rights, let me ask you this. Where do they come from? People say, well, they come from God. They're God-given rights. Oh, fuck, here we go again. Here we go.
man with no answers and no argument. It came from God. Anything we can't describe must have come from God. Personally, folks, I believe that if your rights came from God, he would have given you the right to some food every day, and he would have given you the right to a roof over your head. God would have been looking out for you. God would have been looking out for you. You know that? He wouldn't have been worried about making sure you have a gun so you get drunk on Sunday night and kill your girlfriend's parents. But let's say it's true. Let's say God gave us these rights. Why would he give us a certain number of rights? The Bill of Rights of this country has 10 stipulations, okay? 10 rights. And apparently God was doing sloppy work that week because we've had to amend the Bill of Rights an additional 17 times. So God forgot a couple of things, like slavery. Just fucking slipped his mind. But let's say God gave us the original 10. He gave the British 13. The British Bill of Rights has 13 stipulations. The Germans have 29. The Belgians have 25. The Swedish have only 6. And some people in the world have no rights at all. What kind of a fucking goddamn God-given deal is that? No rights at all? Why would God give different people in different countries different numbers of different rights? Boredom? Amusement? Bad arithmetic? Do we find out at long last, after all this time, that God is weak in mad skills? Doesn't sound like divine planning to me. Sounds more like human planning. Sounds more like one group trying to control another group. In other words, business as usual in America. Now, if you think you do have rights, one last assignment for you. Next time you're at the computer, get on the internet, go to Wikipedia. When you get to Wikipedia, in the search field for Wikipedia, I want you to type in Japanese Americans 1942, and you'll find out all about your precious fucking rights, okay? All right. You know about it. You know about it. Yeah. In 1942, there were 110,000 Japanese American citizens in good standing, law-abiding people who were thrown into internment camps simply because their parents were born in the wrong country. That's all they did wrong. They had no right to a lawyer, no right to a fair trial, no right to a jury of their peers, no right to due process of any kind. The only right they had, right this way, into the internment camps. Just when these American citizens needed their rights the most, their government took them away. And rights aren't rights if someone can take them away. They're privileges. That's all we've ever had in this country is a bill of temporary privileges. And if you read the news even badly, you know that every year the list gets shorter and shorter and shorter. You see how similar it is? Yeah. Sooner or later, the people in this country are going to realize the government does not give a fuck about them. Government doesn't care about you or your children or your rights or your welfare or your safety. It simply doesn't give a fuck about you. It's interested in its own power. That's the only thing, keeping it and expanding it wherever possible. Personally, when it comes to rights, I think one of two things is true. I think either we have unlimited rights or we have no rights at all. Personally, I lean toward unlimited rights. I feel, for instance, I have the right to do anything I please. But if I do something you don't like, I think you have the right to kill me. So where are you going to find a fair fucking deal in that? So the next time some asshole says to you, I have a right to my opinion, you say, oh yeah, well I have a right to my opinion, and my opinion is you have no right to your opinion. Then shoot the fuck and walk away. Thank you.
God bless.
You know, George Carlin talking about your rights. He's talking about the internment camp. I'm sure everybody knows here. Started World War II. We arrested all the Japanese people. Sorry, folks. Stuck in internment camps. Now, what people don't know is when they stuck them in internment camps, they asked them, do you want to stay in America or you want to go home to Japan? Many of them packed up and said, we want to go back to Japan and they want to fight America. All right, that had to be dealt with. Many innocent people said, I want to stay here and defend America. Those people got hosed, without a doubt. They deserve reparations. But we forget the fact that many of those people choose to go back to Japan and fight America.
Right.
So I don't have, I'm not that upset about it, you know. Japan was 2 years behind developing their own atomic bomb. Japan had, oh my God, I forget. What's the area where they did all the bacterial research and all that? They used that on Allied prisoners of wars. That's vicious. They sent the balloons to the Midwest, or the, excuse me, the Northwest, to try to start fires in our forest area. Japan, and let's not forget, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor without any warning. That is basic chicken shit. Now, I am concerned the fact that I also believe that we should have wrapped up all the Germans, too, and the Italians and all that, but obviously, it was all crazy. It was a bad time in America. Everybody was upset. I'm not defending America on this, and I'm certainly going to say to the Japanese people, the innocent people, because many of them, their sons went overseas, and their sons fought, and they were that. For that, I appreciate a lot. Battle of Boston, I think.
Right.
Japanese, the division came in there and all that. We have a lot of proud Americans. But let's not forget the fact that Japan is a country. Some sneaky motherfuckers.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that. Anybody wants to argue with that, please feel free to jump in. I'll glad do a little history research if you want to argue. Start talking about what Japan did. Let's not forget what Japan did to China. Nanking, the rape of Nanking. These are pretty rough people. We had to do what we thought was best. And at that time, America was not prepared. Right after Pearl Harbor, Japan went over and they attacked the Philippines.
Okay.
And that, and somebody's favorite, MacArthur, not my favorite, he said he would be ready. He wasn't ready. And we pretty much got a butt kicked in the Philippines, and we had to go back and take care of that, too. So I can listen to Carlin saying that for us to take Japanese-American people and illegally, and I'll use that term, and turn them in prison war camps, I think that was a big mistake. It's a source of embarrassment. But I also want to point out, many of these Japanese people, upon being questioned, volunteered to leave America to go back to the homeland, Japan, and fight against America. So
right.
Let's not forget that, boys and girls.
If I can get this to load up, Bill, you'll enjoy
it. No, okay. Yeah.
All right, it's coming.
Okay.
This is a holiday spoof. You'll enjoy this. This is it's a holiday TV card. And it's a spoof from the Sons of Anarchy, Bill. So you'll enjoy this. I'll tell you to play this for a bit.
All right. Anybody wants to call him? Call him.
Believe rats are making. Prancing around singing a couple of show tunes. Shooting money.
And I hear they get back in, too.
Not to mention hot water in the trailers. There is more mold than linoleum in my goddamn shower.
And you know what they're paying O'Neill on that modern money?
How much?
$4 million an episode.
Oh, my God.
I made that guy.
Absolutely.
Sutter killed off four characters this season, so we know they got the money.
They got the money.
Actually, four and a half. I had to take a decrease in salary, or that branch wasn't going to spend.
Oh, so bad.
Right. I say we take the vote. Piece of the show, or we don't show.
Oh! Here, here.
Right.
Yay.
Hey. Hondell said you guys were in here. Just wanted to stop by and thank you for an awesome season. We're so proud of you.
Yeah, we love the show. The work is amazing. We are so happy to be part of it.
We got you a latke card just to show our appreciation.
Latkes.
Wow.
You shouldn't have.
Sit down. I want to talk to you about percentages.
Oh. That's something that business affairs would discuss with your agent.
Agents? We don't need no stinking agents.
Hey, Johnny Sue. Play a little messy to take a seat.
Excuse me?
You do know this is a television show, right? You're not really bikers.
Watch.
Okay, well,
Enjoy your latkes.
Get it? You did it.
What if Jesus is a latke?
I told you that was a bad idea.
I had no idea they were that crazy.
They work for Sutter, what did you expect?
On behalf of everyone at 20th Century Fox Television, we wish you and yours
a joyous holiday season.
For you and I to point out that, as we know, some of the Sons of Anarchy,
yes,
and they've asked us over and over to tell everybody, there is no Sons of Anarchy. It's a TV show.
Right.
They are actors playing a role. I have never seen, and maybe you have, I haven't, I've never seen Sons of Anarchy on their day off wearing a Sons of Anarchy t-shirt.
Nobody.
Never in the colors.
You know, Bill,
it doesn't happen.
Across the United States,
yeah,
right now, there's a lot of fucking people getting beat up because they walked into the wrong bar.
Wearing what?
Wearing a Sons of Anarchy t-shirt.
How can anybody watch this TV show and believe it's real? It's not real, guys. Do not go out and buy a Mayans t-shirt. Do not go out and buy a Sons of Anarchy t-shirt. It's a TV show. And if you want to buy it because you want to keep a souvenir, that's your business.
Or you want to get your ass kicked.
There are many motorcycle clubs out there that work very hard to build their reputation. And to become a member of a club, it takes a trial period, probate, prospect, different names and all that. Don't just put a set of colors on, even soft colors.
Nope.
A TV shirt.
There was a bike club, a bunch of old guys in Australia, and they made up a different logo and had a three-piece patch. They were asked to casually take it off.
Anybody with the sound of our voice, I want to repeat this. It's a TV show. If you want to buy them, if you want to buy Sons of Anarchy coffee cups, I don't care what you're buying. That's your prerogative. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I am suggesting you do not wear this stuff out in public.
No.
It's going to irritate some people. Is it going to irritate the Sons of Anarchy? No. Because they're just actors.
Right.
They don't care.
And we'll see them at the Easy Rider show this year, Bill.
That's January the 7th, I believe, right?
No, January 8th? 12th.
No.
Yes.
No.
No, 14th, it's a Saturday.
I think the 7th.
Mm. The 14th, it's a Saturday.
You just think, you don't know.
No, I'll tell you.
Go ahead and tell me. I'm so tired of being right all the time on this show. But once again, I'll just wait for you to dig up the records and all that. Anyway, everybody join me January 7th. At Anaheim, and you'll be there on January 14th. You'll be at the Anaheim, right? So again, join Bill Kennedy on January 7th, or join Philip January 14th. This is your prerogative, your choice. And he's running down real quick trying to get information for us. For those of you in the know, I would say join Bill Kennedy on the 7th. Don't go with Philip on the 14th. But, you know, hey, I'm still waiting, amigo.
Hey, you know what?
What have you found?
You know, we're jumping around here, Bill, doing other things.
Yeah, see, you'll find out. You find out.
Hang on.
Okay, I'll hang on a second or two.
What day is that today, Bill?
What says here? January 7th. I'm sorry. Oh, that's the day I said.
January 7th. Oh, also, Bill, What threw me off was, at Sacramento, it's the 14th.
That's true.
Okay? 14th and the 15th.
That's true.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Anaheim, the 7th.
Right.
Or go visit Philip on the 14th in Sacramento. Two-day show. Must be a good show up there. Well, remember last year we were at that show, and, man, parking was bad. Trying to get in, everything was a mess. So I'm glad they moved to Anaheim. That's a much bigger venue.
Right.
Looks any of our friends going to show up there? Speaking of Sons of Anarchy, do you have anybody showing up?
Yeah, but I can't say because it hasn't been confirmed yet.
Okay.
I don't want to let the cat out of the bag and then
Somebody said that girl, Winter, is going to show up. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah.
Okay, one of the guys told me that, and that's they said that has been confirmed, though. I can say that.
Yeah, because
other people will just wait and see.
No, and what I'll tell you is just like on... hang on. Just like on the blog.
Yeah.
She gets... I want to say... Hang on, we'll get right to it.
Winter, of course, is one of the actresses on the Sons of Anarchy show. She's got quite a following. Wouldn't it be nice one day if we had a following?
Mm-hmm. See, right here. If you want to talk about her.
Yes, let's talk. She's already confirmed for the show that I heard, yeah. And, oh, I didn't know that her in Playboy, too?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Was, Winter Ave Zoli. She's on, she's the porn star Layla. And she's made a career playing X-rated actresses, hookers, and numerous other bad girls. She'll be up there shining.
Right.
We will hold off on the other one because we're still trying to wait for them to work out there. I'm going up there because I'm looking forward to speaking to a lot of my old friends I haven't seen in a while. I like the Easy Rider show because bike builders from the Midwest and East Coast, old friends of ours, they stop in. And a lot of people I don't see face-to-face because they are geographically away from me. So it's kind of nice for me to talk about people like that. I never know who's showing up this year. So
we got a kitty cat calling. Or she's in the chat room from Canada, Bill.
Canada.
Maybe she'll call in because she said the other day she just might even call in.
Well, we should have kitty cat. I wonder if they have an Easy Rider show in Canada. I don't know if they do or not. Maybe she could tell us that. Shall we just implore kitty cat to call us in?
Oh, yeah, we could do that. She's probably laughing, going, oh, fuck, what do I do now?
Pick up the phone.
And I wanted to share something with you the other day.
Uh-huh.
Remember I told you about that the comic friend of Andy's? He's now a friend of the show. He called in Tuesday.
Andy, of course, the president of the Belfast chapter of the Sons of Anarchy.
That's correct.
And he's an actor, movie star, and he's a professional wrestler. I don't know if you
know
that. Yeah, okay then. So who is his friend that I'm not aware of?
Dean Del Rey.
Okay, yeah, okay, good.
He's
okay.
A comedian. Factor. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, wrong one.
Did you get rain coming home tonight?
Yes.
Where were you at? What's
Carlsbad.
That? Carlsbad?
Coming from Kaiser.
Yeah, I was talking to Jaws at the shop today, and Jaws said, I'm going to take off before it rains. I go, ain't going to rain. 5 minutes later, it dumped on me, and I said, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'd feel bad, but we have people in the Midwest and Canada, and we have people in the East Coast. They have real rain, not that little sissy stuff that you and I have.
No, and what it is this is Dean Del Rey.
Okay.
And he's a comedian. He also happens to be a biker, Bill. But he sent me this little tidbit. He was on on a show with Kevin Nealon at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be there Thursday.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this guy, Dean Del Rey.
Give him a nice hand. Come on.
I'm from San Francisco. You ever been there? No? You're looking at me like, oh, he's a gay comic. Right. People think everyone in San Francisco is gay. It's so weird. Like, it's just a gay city. Right? Two streets are gay in the whole town. I don't know how it got this reputation. Two f***ing streets. It's not like you fly in with your family on vacation, right? You get off the plane, like, all right. And they go, welcome to San Francisco. And then they just pour a bucket of dicks on you. Oh, man, keep going, you know? And it's f***ing Vietnam of dicks. You ever had a bucket of dicks pouring on you? Not nice.
How long have you had the tattoos?
Jeez.
They call them sleeves.
Yeah, right? Yeah, sleeves.
Do you think that, I mean, isn't it true, after you've had tattoos for a long time, the ink starts to blend, meld into the...
I think the old ones, like the old army ones, yeah, but the new ones are like...
Because I know the Blue Man Group was all tattoos at one point.
That's what I heard.
And then it kind of just washed into all blue.
Now they're the Gray Man Group, because they're out in the sun and the blue turns to gray.
Is that what happens with
tattoos? Yeah, they're just the Gray Man Group.
But black people, they really can't get tattoos.
No, they all got them. Like all the basketball guys.
Yeah, but you can't really see them that well.
That's true. Sure. I don't know why they waste their money.
Maybe if we came up with an ink that was like fluorescent or something.
They have that.
They do?
They have an ink where they put it on and you don't see it. Then if you're in a club, and like a nightclub, your tattoo lights up. That's a true story.
I like that.
So you could have secret tats.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
If I was a tattoo artist, I would do that on people. I would put like my little stuff on there.
Yeah, at secret messages like,
yeah.
I suck dick on their neck. They don't know, and then they get in the club, people are like, what is on your neck?
Yeah. Dean, do you ride a motorcycle?
I do.
Have you ever fallen?
One time behind here at the Laugh Factory, and I've been riding 25 years, I was pulling into the factory, and some guy came pulling in, which is ironic, he was in a Prius trying to save the planet. He flicked his cigarette out. Right, littering and arson in his Prius. He doesn't even see me. Turns in, like, whoa, and I lock him up and I fall over. Right, just real slow. Out back, brand new bike. I'm pissed. This guy runs up. I go, okay, at least he's helped me up. This guy comes over and goes, I saw the whole thing, and the other guy drove off. F***ing guys.
That's what I would have done if I was the guy that cut you off. I would have got out of the car, ran over to go, I saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
That prick left.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't remember, like, yeah, where is he? And then he points out another guy, and I beat him up.
I've almost taken out a lot of motorcycles in my car because I don't see them coming.
Yeah.
Right? You guys ever, like, almost hit a motorcycle,
yeah.
Open up a door, and
yeah.
Then on the freeway, you zoom in and out of the car. It's like,
yeah,
Hello, Pete. Had him.
Which Pete was that, sir?
Boston. We had him.
Hey. Let's get back to that comedian for a second. I've been riding 25 years. He's only had one minor accident. Well, maybe he's a much better driver than I am. I probably could not count the amount of accidents I've had. Leaving a cemetery... We were pretty wasted, and 7 or 8 bikes crashed in the cemetery. Coming off the freeway, getting on the freeway. I've been hit by... I'm also very open-minded.
Uh-huh.
I've been hit by a couple black guys in a Cadillac, a couple of Mexicans in a pickup truck, and a couple of white guys in a Ford, the early Thunderbird.
Hey,
you know, the real nice...
My pitch on you hear that? Pete?
What? Hello, Pete.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm Gino. I'm trying to do. I got 4 people here. I'm trying to talk to. Hi, Phil, Bill. I got Gino on the phone with me.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh my God. What?
I'm watching Jacksonville, Atlanta.
Stop going on those porno sites, and you won't have that problem.
No. I'm on my Facebook. I have no picture of myself. All of a sudden, my pictures are gone.
Bro, I just looked at your page. Your picture is there.
Yeah, I must have came back. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, well, it's there because I've seen it.
So what's the subject, guys? Just tell me the subject.
Well, first of all, we want to tell you something that I hope you get a little chuckle about. Both Screwdriver and I got rained on tonight coming to the show. I know getting rained on is not a big deal for you people, but...
We're waiting for the snow. You guys got rained on.
It's raining tonight, too.
What gets me about Bill is Bill busts my balls about having nice weather, yet in California, living in California, yet he's from Boston.
He's living like California.
Bill's from Boston. Bill, you know how it, Bill, you've seen snow before. You know how sick he could be, you know?
I want a white Christmas. I don't care.
I thought you gave that stuff up.
Well, he does it now and again. He'll do it.
I can ride in the snow.
Now, what is he referring to?
What?
That's not what he was referring to.
Oh, okay?
Over your head.
Yeah, you can understand I'm slow this tonight.
Well, you're old, that's why.
Yeah, well, it's not easy being 65. It's nice.
66. You're an older young guy. That's what you are.
Yeah. Look at it this way. I love the young girls, and they all come to me.
Hold on, we got to get my brother involved in this one. Paul's going to say something. Hold on.
Chester the molester.
Very few words my brother speaks. When he does, they're funny.
So what are you guys doing out there?
They're probably in shock at the
things
that are coming out of our mouths, bro. Yeah, so how are you guys doing? How are you doing?
Past 3 weeks, we've done about 6 toy runs, and we're both a little bit getting burnt out, to be honest with you. We have one more run this weekend at my shop there in Oceanside, and we're collecting used blankets, socks, clothing. We're going to have a big deal and have people from the Brother Banos, like the homeless shelter, they're going to drive down to my shop. We'll have several hundred people there. We'll collect all this clothing. We'll give it to them. They'll have a band playing, music, food, you know, the usual.
That's cool.
Raffle prizes, but this is the last one of the season. And, guys, I'm a little tired. I don't have the ho-ho-ho, Merry Christmas. I don't know. I think I've done too much Christmas stuff this year. I just don't
remember the little children. The children, that's Christmas is for children, too.
That's
right. They're all happy. That's what makes it count.
I know that when you were 1%, you did a lot of those toy runs. Does your Christian club that you're in now, do they do toy runs?
Yeah, we do one for the homeless vets. That's what we like doing. We try to help the homeless vets.
Do you do anything for the kids at all, your club?
Yeah.
Like Toys for Tots or any of that?
Yeah, well, that's done by a lot of clubs already. You know, they all do.
Oh, but I'm asking about your club.
Yeah, when it comes up, we'll take a teddy bear, put it on the front of the bike, and bring it down. Toys for Tots.
Right, I'm not talking about before in the 70s when you were a 1%er. I'm talking about now. Does your club
we do it now.
All right.
And in the 70s, we didn't really give a shit about it. We didn't do anything.
Really?
Yeah. We just rode hard, you know. Hard riders.
Yeah.
Went everywhere.
Well, I know the HA really does a lot for the kids.
Yeah.
And
as
a matter of fact, they just had a toy run and the other toy run, and then there's another toy run tomorrow in San Bernardino.
You know, make it Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah, I saw that in the news.
Created the MMA, Modified Motorcycle Association, so can keep everybody doing things, you know.
Well, people should help one another.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I give a shout out to my friend Andrew, who's a new listener. He's from Massachusetts. He lives close by here, and just met him on Facebook. He's a biker as well, old school, like us, well, like Gino anyway, and me, I guess, you guys. But his name is Andrew. He's listening. I know he's listening, and he's going to be, listening to the show. I turned him on to the link and all that, and I think Christine's listening. I'm not sure, though. So, hello, Christine. Hello, Andrew. Hello,
Andrew, if you feel comfortable, call us up anytime. Say something.
We got to get my mother on the show. She's got some stories to tell. My mother used to date so many guys from Salem, the Salem chapter. Red and white, you know.
I would tell you, everybody, your mother was dating a whole bunch of Salem chapter members. Come on.
What? No, not a lot of them. She dated Al, you know.
Yeah, Al.
And what's his name? Eddie. The guy that had the glass eye, Eddie.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, his eye used to fall out on the table.
Yeah.
Eddie Eyeball.
Yeah.
And a couple other guys. And my mother was just, was an attractive lady, but when in her younger years, she was a bartender at a bar in Salem called 96 North Street. And that was their bar. And she worked there, and they used to call my mother the grasshopper because she would. She was real quick at serving drinks up real fast. That was also her favorite drink. I've never had one myself. Not that I really drink, because I don't. But she said that was her favorite drink. And the HA used to come in and take care of her, give her tip her really well, always pleasant. And then when the new owners came in and bought the place, they kicked them out, and the fucking Blue Knights came in and started hanging out there. So that's the story behind that.
Probably why they moved to Lynn.
Probably why, that probably is why they moved to Lynn.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
There's nothing in Lynn, you know. Lynn is depressing. The only good thing about Lynn is the red and white. That's it.
Yeah.
Lynn sucks. I lived in West Lynn for years. I used to get shot at on a daily basis. Gangs everywhere. Hookers. Pimps. All kinds of shit going on in Lynn. Lynn is rough. Lynn is rough. Lynn is like Compton in California. It's on that level. So.
They burnt down half the city. They had to redo it. So.
I met a guy from Compton the other day. He was telling me. He was an African American gentleman, and he said he was working at the gas station. He was from Compton, and he says, "Man, this is boring for me down here." I says, "Why? You know, where are you from? What are you used to?" And I live in a small town north of Boston. This is pretty boring here. I said, "What are you used to, man?" He says, "I'm from Compton, California." I said, "Holy shit." I said, "No wonder why you're bored, you know? There's nothing going on here, man. They got two police cars for the whole town, you know?"
Wow.
Yeah, there's only two. There's two patrol officers on every shift, and on the weekends they put three on, a supervisor and then two officers. Because the crime rate here is very low, you know? It's very low. And it's a military town. Anybody gives us any shit, we get the military right down the street to back us up.
Uh-huh.
And that's Fort Devens, you know. Fort Devens is here. So, nice. It's a nice area. It's a nice area. Boring, though, you know. Convenience stores close early. Everything closes up early. The pizza places close up early. And Gino kind of lives in the hood. He lives about four or five towns over from me. And right there in the center of Cleghorn. Which is
I'm the only one that I'm in the Historic Society in Leominster and Pittsburgh.
As a matter of fact, when he moved to the city that he lives in now, all the gangs and all the drug dealers saw him moving in, recognized him, and moved the hell out of the neighborhood. You and your roommate there. You run that neighborhood, bro.
Yeah.
That's your neighborhood. Nobody's gonna mess with you there. All the gangbangers took off and went the other way. They says, "Oh my God, it's Gino. It's Gino from TV, from the old days. Run to the hills."
You know, guys, I got to tell you, when I bought my last house, it was in a rough neighborhood. I got it for a great price. I moved in with a real problem with a street gang. All the people on the street, they felt they were isolated and they were afraid of this gang. I brought 50 motorcycles in. I stuck them in front of every single house on the street. Within 2 weeks, they all left the area. And I asked all the people, "Why didn't you people ever communicate?" Because, we just stayed inside, let this one street gang intimidate everybody. I put 50 motorcycles up and down the street. Oh, and all the local 7-Elevens, too. I put, like, it wasn't a bounty. It was just a reward for information on all these people. And they all left the area. You stand up to street thugs.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've ever seen the old video of the AFFA, there's a certain part in the Hell's Angels Forever is the actual title of the movie. Gino got me a copy of it. Thank you. There's an actual part in the movie that they're interviewing some old people in the neighborhood, and the old people are saying, "We love the Angels. They never give us a problem. If anything, they protect us from the street thugs. You know, they take care of us. You know, they are our protection. We want them here. We don't want them kicked out of this neighborhood. We want them."
Movie about from the New York Hells Angels?
What's that?
That movie about the New York Hells Angels?
Exactly, the movie about the New York Angels, yeah.
I think it was about the clubhouse in the middle. Yeah, I remember that now.
But, there's a good section there, and they're like, you know, they're interviewing this old guy, and he's like, "No, they're good people. They protect us. It's the street gangs and the thugs and the scumbags that are intimidating everybody. We like the bikers here. We want the bikers in this neighborhood. We want the Hells Angels in this neighborhood. We don't want the street gangs in this neighborhood. They're the ones that are ruining it." So.
Oh, well, we used to take care of our own street. We didn't need anybody. That's how it was done. You know, we'd steal in our area. We'd take anything from our area. kept everybody safe. That way you can do things without no one knowing, you know what I mean? But nobody, I know, always take care. See, if you got to do something bad, go to another town. But...
Yeah. Good advice.
You know, you may want to hear this. At my shop in Oceanside, we got a Christian bike club called the Warriors of the Cross. And it's a good-sized bike club, not a giant one, but they don't have a place to go. They don't have a church. And they came up to my shop. They said, can we meet at your church on Sundays and have a prayer group, prayer meeting, if you would? So for the past, what, 2-3 months now?
Yeah.
I've got a Christian bike club. When I open up Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, they're out there having prayer meetings. You know what? I don't feel uncomfortable at all. I figured they're bikers. They're all right with me. But they don't have a church. So they wanted to use my bike shop. And I said, why not? Why not, indeed? I figured Gino got a kick out of that.
No.
He's into that type of shit.
My Christian club, we were the Seed of Abraham, and we're most of our club out here. But we're cross-country now. We have a good chapter in Texas.
Oh, is that the club you're in now?
Yeah, the club I'm in now, Seed of Abraham. But you know what? We like to serve, and we like to help people. I also feed the homeless. And you know what's funny about feeding the homeless? People got cell phones.
Yeah, I know. That is funny. You got a point there. They do. I've seen that.
That was a cool thing. I should think of it. They all got home. And
I actually have a picture of a guy that's walking down the street with a BlackBerry that has this obviously homeless, and I just never. I don't know. Look at what's his name. No, seriously, look at Howard Hughes, the billionaire. The guy was homeless. He was loaded, you know. So maybe the guy's not homeless with the cell phone that you saw. You know, who knows? Maybe he's a millionaire. And the strangest dude I ever read about was Hughes, Howard Hughes, living that lifestyle like a bum, but having billions of dollars, you know, never spending any of it. Yeah, so. Left behind a lot of money, too. A lot of money. To the Mormons, speaking of Christianity and Christ and all that, he left behind.
Hey, hang on a second. We got caller 503. Jump in, caller 503.
Hey,
you're on the air live.
It's Sifu Mike Mather. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up?
Good.
Man? How you doing?
Good.
Gino, that's your buddy, the martial arts guy from your page. I recognize.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Hey,
don't wait for my teacher at you.
Hey, no, it's a zip-up hoodie I got you coming.
Don't mess with that dude, bro. He looks like he could definitely throw some kicks.
Hey, I got like 5 minutes. I got to teach my MMA class. Just wanted to give a little shout-out and say hi to you guys. Also, if other people want to support my fighters and us, they can log into my website. And got our new fight shirts. It says Feel the Pain across the front, and then it has Academy on the back in the Mather and Academy rockers. Looks great. And, of course, Phil will have one that he can model for you guys.
Oh, Phil's getting one, huh?
Yeah.
You have that in extra small, Phil?
Extra small, is that what you said, our youth medium?
I'm going to tell you what.
There was a nice.
Oh, she looked like a hooker from, you know, what I used to, oh my God.
Wanted to know why Bill was so tall and had small feet.
Happy feet.
I'm looking at
dude,
the,
one of us wanted her both to take her home. We said, no.
I'm looking at the sweatshirt. It's pretty cool. Nice looking. It's in red and white, too. And it has like a dragon in the middle, two dragons and something in the middle.
Yeah.
And then...
I drew that.
I'm looking at it. I just think that's a friend request.
That center patch, I drew that in 1994, 95. And what that means is, don't judge a book by its cover. The dragons are meant to, you know, be fierce, but that leopard's cutting through the center and tearing them, killing them bull.
Yeah.
That would be a cool tattoo, actually.
I have that on my back.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, it covers my whole back.
So where can we get these sweatshirts at? You the website? You have, what, did you mention the one I was?
Yeah, my website is profitnessctrmma.com.
Oh, okay, I see it. Now. I just found it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And
oh, yeah.
Wow,
that is badass with the two dragons and the is that, what is that? What's that in the middle? Like
a leopard.
A leopard, yeah, a leopard.
Yeah, he's diving right through the center of him.
Hey, when I do my TV show, why don't you send me a few of them, please? I can wear it.
On your TV
on
show?
My TV show, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't wear a suit on my TV show.
No, we.
You don't wear a suit on your TV show?
No, him and I do a show together, and we just look like a couple of thugs. But
good
idea, though.
Tell people.
What size T-shirt do you two wear?
Well, I wear an extra large. I like it a little tight.
Gino, you're bigger than an extra large because there's no way in hell you're an extra large.
Yeah.
At least, wear at least a 2X, and I'm.
If I wear 2X, that's a little too loose.
He ain't fitting into an extra lot. If it's a T-shirt, yeah. Not a sweatshirt. T-shirt, maybe.
Oh, sweatshirt 2X.
Yeah, sweatshirt 2X, T-shirt XL.
What about you?
Same thing. I'm 5'9 and 250 pounds, and I'm not really overweight, but I do require a bigger shirt. T-shirt, I could probably get away with an XL, but a sweatshirt would definitely be a 2X.
Okay. I'll see what I can do. All about hooking brothers
put
up.
Put it on my show. So
double XL.
You know, and you can, well, if you have a website or something, I want to make sure that people can go on your website. You know.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it. I came out. I'm watching the damn football game.
It's a damn football game off.
Atlanta against.
Atlanta, you guys sound like an old married couple.
Yeah, well, yeah. You should see us on TV together, Phil. It's funny.
I gotta run, guys. I gotta teach my fighters. I gotta beat the shit out of them and get them going. So, you guys,
right.
Much love, and I'll talk to you guys later. And I'll send those two shirts with Phil's package. So if you don't get them, it's because Phil was being greedy.
Well, we live on the West Coast. We live in Boston, the Boston area. Phil lives in California.
Oh, that's okay.
Hey, I'll send you my book of poetry.
What we'll do is Gino will send you an address if you want to send.
Yeah,
me, you know.
Send me on either Facebook me or whatever, and send it there. Message me so I can get to the right spot, guys.
I'll take care of that. I'm Pete. I just sent you a friend request because Gino is not really with it half the time. No offense. I'll give him
really
a request. Phil's 3,000 miles from us. I don't think he's going to bring us a shirt.
Federal government.
No, but you never know. I might have it delivered by a chick.
Facebook all the time.
Yeah, you do want
to be on
Facebook.
They're probably listening to us now. They're taking down that we are making codes to each other.
All right, you guys. I got to get going. If I don't talk to you or tune in before Christmas, Merry Christmas to y'all.
Hey,
Merry Christmas.
Take care.
And a Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Happy New Year.
All right, bye.
2012. Don't like to go see Star Trek. He's cool. I hope we get it. I like to wear one on my TV show.
I like that shirt. I like the design of it. I just looked at it. It's pretty cool looking.
Pete, I'll tell you what, Pete. Send me the address with the zip code and everything, and I'll take care of it.
Are you sure? I mean, we'll pay you for the shipping or whatever. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. Thanks.
Okay, do it.
We appreciate
it. I don't
want
to argue. It's time.
I was thinking,
Bill,
I think
you wouldn't even buy me lunch. You're buying sweatshirts for these guys here. You wouldn't even buy lunch, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
No bullshit. The last time we went to eat, I reached for my wallet. You told me, no, I got it.
Yeah.
The time before that, you told me I got it.
Yeah. Every time
I reach my wallet, you tell me
every
you got
time
it.
They check
you know why?
You go to
no,
the bathroom.
You know why?
That's you
no,
go
no,
to the
bullshit.
Bathroom.
You know why? Because you always ask for the receipt. What do you do with the receipt, Bill?
Tax write-off.
There
God
you go.
God bless this country. Every time the check comes up, you run the bathroom. I know what's going on.
I'm helping you not pay your tax.
You know what? You
no,
guys
better
sound
be
like a married couple.
Done me,
they'll
yeah.
probably check on us right now.
You and Phil and Bill, me and Gino, we're like twins here.
No, it's sad.
You guys have a similar relationship, friendship.
When in Delaware.
Oh, I don't know. Friendship.
Hey, Gino, I heard Mickey Rourke was in town. Did you hear that? Doing something.
Get out of here. Mickey Rourke's in town?
That's what I heard. Doing something for something, somebody.
Oh.
I don't
know.
Yeah,
I heard that.
I like to do a couple of stand-in movies. I get a kick on doing that.
Oh, you've done a few, haven't you?
Yeah, I did the Game Plan with The Rock, but I like to do a couple more. $25 a day just to stand there and do the same thing over and over again.
How much do they pay you?
They pay you $75. If I'm knowing you.
That's all they're paying you? They were paying me $250 a day.
Yeah, they were paying me $75.
Oh, my God. That's an insult.
I was happy.
That's a freaking insult, man.
We got Art joining us from Poway, Bill.
All right, why don't you jump in here?
We got two guests. Andrew.
Oh, Andrew's going to call in. That's our friend from the East Coast. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Andrew, call in, bro. You're more than welcome to call in. Friend Andrew, and he's practically my neighbor.
And then we got Art.
Listening. We'd like to hear from you.
Art in the chat for Poway.
Art from Poway. You going to be at the motorcycle event at our shop on Sunday, Art? Type back in, let us know. Sunday?
What's that?
He's not talking to you. He's talking to someone else.
Oh.
Andrew, you out there? Andrew, you want to jump in? He's listening. Andrew, jump in if you want to talk to us. We're easy going, people.
You call in and hit number one when you get the... a lot of people don't know how to do that, you guys. They call in and they don't... You give them the number and then hit number one when the Blog Talk recording comes on. That's how you get on the show.
Right. You just punch one and then it'll put you in the queue. And then once we see the number, we'll bring you up.
Yeah. It usually works for me, but sometimes it doesn't. Blog Talk Radio is not that dependable. I know Hermes was having problems last night on his show.
Well, that's because they're listening to him and they're listening to us.
Oh, I know that. I know.
You know, every once in a while, they jam us up. Last few weeks, I don't know what's been going on, but, you know.
Well, they jam you up more than Hermes, because yours is more of a biker-related show, and that's who they target. And Hermes has got a variety of things now, and kind of laid back off the one topic, and we're all bikers here, you know, and that's what they look for. They want to see what we're up to, and it's ridiculous. What else is new?
But everybody, that if motorcycle riding stopped being popular tomorrow, myself, Screwdive, and a lot of our friends would still be 100% with it. This isn't just a fad. This isn't just a hobby to us. This is truly, for the rest of my life, we're here, me and the motorcycle.
We got a caller from 909, Bill.
909.
You're live right now.
It's 909.
Hey, it's Diane.
Hello, Diane.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi, Diane.
Shadow's still out working, so it's just me.
I knew it.
Remember that song by
did.
Paul Anka, Diana? No, nobody remembers that.
Nah, it was... None of us are that old, bro.
Well, you guys, give Diane a chance to talk here for a minute.
All right, let's listen to her. Let's see what's going on.
I'm all for that.
Diane,
hey,
where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Temecula. Just calling to tell you guys, Shadow and I'll be down there Sunday to see you.
Wonderful.
That's a big cover-up.
Are you going to San Diego, Harley, or are you just coming there first?
You know what? I'm not really sure. We're supposed to go down to UMS and tell them about what's going on with the Warrior Foundation chopper build.
Uh-huh.
Because their event Sunday morning is benefiting the Warrior Foundation, so they offered for us to come down. It's down at Brown Field.
Okay.
Brown Airfield at the lounge.
Can you send me some info on that, and then maybe I'll come over there.
Okay.
I'll go there first instead of going to Mike's, since we're going to be involved in that. You can't go because you got to be at the shop.
I got to get the things open up. I got the people doing the cooking, the chairs, tables set up. I got to get the porta potty. Now, I'll be at the shop setting up all Sunday morning while you're out gallivanting around having a good time.
Wow.
All that love.
I do all
that love. Yeah, you do all the work.
So,
yeah,
okay. You said
we'll
channel
be down there.
Okay.
I just got off the phone and also the Cyril Hughes blog, and man, there's a soldier over in Germany who just got took for $21,000 from Big Bear Choppers. And a working guy out in India who just got took for $10,000 on the day that we were up there picking up the kit. They already knew they were out of business, and they still took the guy's deposit.
Yeah, and according to what I've read on there, and according to the conversation I had with Bill, those guys might be looking at some serious time for wire fraud.
I don't get it. I don't understand how they. I was looking at pictures that we took of the guys that the injured warriors that went up and toured Big Bear Choppers in March, and you know, it just breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. I mean, we're going to make that chopper build happen, but.
Why don't you tell us a little bit, because our cousins back east are listening to you right now. Tell us about what you're doing a little bit, please.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Well, we were asked by the Warrior Foundation in San Diego to assist the injured warriors in a vocational rehab program out of San Diego. And that project that they wanted to do was build a chopper. So we referred them to Big Bear Choppers. Shadow had built a Big Bear Chopper in the past and thought that would probably be the easiest way for these guys to have the tech support they needed and all the right parts already right together. And they insisted that the Warrior Foundation pay for the kit in full in June. But I think they were already planning to go out of business by then. And, you know,
sure,
was after
because
a
they
lot
took what... They took $100,000 loan and then $147,000 loan, knowing they were going to close the doors.
Well, they took a loan from the city of Big Bear, they took a loan from the bank, and that was probably about $250,000 the beginning of the year.
So who got ripped off here? The money that was who got ripped off is what I'm trying to figure out. Who did
they
rip off besides the bank?
Pete, what do you do if you go on Cyril Hughes' blog? Just type in Cyril Hughes and hit enter, and it'll come up. You go to his news stories, and it's right there.
All right.
So, Diane, how are you guys recovering from this? So you went up to Big Bear, you got some of the stuff back, or tell us, give us an upgrade from that.
We got we're guessing about 60% of the parts. You know, that, but some of those parts were used. They, you know, that he took parts off of other people's bikes that were there, either whether they were there for work or they were there as a build or what, I don't know. But we got some parts. Some were used, some were incomplete. So what we'll be doing now is fundraising to try and earn the money to buy the additional parts. And we've gotten some support from Bill Kennedy Cycles to help with the build and provide, you know, expertise in that area and also help get some of the parts that we need. So we're just looking for anybody that wants to help, you know, with the rest of this kit. And so these guys can start building when they get back after the first of the year.
Think you tell us, where is this build going to take place at? I mean, I know that, but I want everybody to hear this. Where is this going to be when the motorcycle comes together?
It's down at the Hobby Auto Garage Shop down at MCRD in San Diego. They actually, the Marines built a separate shop cage for this build. It's all set up down there. The parts that we did get have been delivered. So as soon as we get the rest of the parts and we can start going, maybe the first of the year when the guys get back from their holiday.
So, Pete, if you didn't hear that, the Marine Corps in San Diego is giving these people space on the military base to assemble this motorcycle, having the military assemble it, maybe just a few of us old guys around for a little guidance or something like that. But on the military base, they're going to let them build a chopper. What do you think about that idea?
It's very, very cool. Very.
Yeah. Cool. The guys are actually in the hospital down there at Balboa doing rehab, and they'll either bus them over, they'll drive over, and when they're
in
there, they'll
have something like this, or, you know, veterans or elderly or children or animals, and people are trying to raise money, because I help the homeless and I help veterans and animals as well. And when I hear somebody rip somebody off or took off of the money, that really fucking irritates me. I'm sorry. Excuse my language.
It is irritating. And to know that Kevin got those loans, and then also apparently he got an undisclosed amount from the Obama Recovery and Reinvestment Act fund, somehow got that in April, not to mention all the deposits and payments in full he took for bikes that will never be delivered. I don't get it.
What comes around goes around, though, so.
Yep.
Karma.
Definitely.
Is a bitch. Karma is a bitch.
You know, they're going to have a hard time. They think, I know stealing that much money in that, believe me, it's going to run out, so.
In the motorcycle community, we don't.
Back at them.
That's it.
Motorcycle community, we don't forget.
No.
No.
You can run, but you can't hide. Bikers are worldwide.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And even if you think you're hanging out with the big boys, they're not gonna help you, because some of them guys are ex-Marines too, and they hate it just as much, Bill and I do, as you do, as everybody we're talking to tonight hates it. If you fuck over people, you're gonna get fucked in the end.
To be fair, we've invited the people from Big Bear, and anybody that wants to speak, come on the show and tell us their side. We certainly don't want to make a one-sided program here. We've got all the written statements and everything, but if anybody wants to come on and explain their side from Big Bear, we certainly will give them equal time, but at this point,
yeah.
No response at all.
I think everybody would love to hear from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would.
Yep. I know Shadow got a call this week. Wanted to know if that was him on Cyril Hughes' Shadow 666. And Shadow told Kevin straight up, dude, you know me. I've known you a long time. You know I'd come straight to you. And if I'm going to put my name up, if I'm going to say anything about you, I'm going to say it with my name. So that took care of that, whoever Shadow 666 is. And he said also I would never use 666 with my name. So you're barking up the wrong tree. Like, why does it matter? What, you know, if you're calling the bitch that somebody posted something on a blog, go on there and prove differently.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll follow up on that story some more, and as your program gets more, we'll hear more information, and the truth will come out in the end, without a doubt, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
How did you and Shadow get involved in something like this? What was the impetus there?
Well, we've been involved with the Warrior Foundation, like decorating the barracks during Christmas and providing stuff through the Harley groups down in San Diego. And then they were referred to him because he's built a Big Bear chopper in the past, plus he's built some other bikes. So they thought, since we're big supporters of our military, we also won the biker patch contest from Radio KGB down in San Diego. And we won 100 lunches a restaurant down there that was catered, wanted to cater a party for 100 people for the winner of the patch contest. And we donated that, as when we won, we donated that to the Warrior Foundation. And the Warrior Foundation bought another 100 lunches. So about 2 or 3 months ago, we went down and we served all these guys lunch down at Balboa Hospital, and so that was pretty cool. But we've been involved with the Warrior Foundation for a couple years now.
That's great work you're doing. Keep it up. Really is.
Definitely.
Great work you're doing. But you're going to be,
well,
you know, you know that people are, most people are dirtbags, and, you're going to deal with people like that, stealing from people, but they'll get what's coming to them, you know. If karma doesn't get them, the man upstairs will get them.
Yeah,
we got another caller might want to comment on this. Hello, 858.
Yeah, guys.
Hello, Art. What do you think about all that shit you just heard?
Well, there's one thing I'm looking at. You know, I remember back at a time when a guy would pick up a bunch of parts and start putting a bike together, and all his friends would come over and bring a bunch of parts, and they'd end up building a bike that you had to work on pretty regularly, but he'd have wheels under him. And that was part of the brotherhood of you know, helping each other and having each other's back that way. And it's kind of neat to see this happen, because in this day and age of yuppies and wannabes, you don't see people that want to stand up and support somebody and put out an effort. It's great to see that kind of thing happening.
Definitely. And that's what we said, you know what, everything happens for a reason. And even though this seems like, you know, an atrocity, I think it's going to be, in the end, a good thing that will bring people together, and it'll help our military realize how much we do support them and appreciate what they've done for us.
Yeah.
Man, believe me, we'll find another war soon again anyways.
Yeah, they're too easy to find.
Unfortunately.
No, I want to tell you one thing. What did the Arabs ever do, the Muslims?
No, not this again. Every week it's the same thing with the fucking Muslims. Give it a rest.
Muslims not coming into this country other than shooting us in the back, causing grief. They killed their own daughter because they're going with a Christian.
I'm not doing any more TV shows with you, man.
Yeah, and the Jews, at least they went
out. All radio shows.
The Jewish people at least wrote songs. God bless America. I mean, you know, they hug this country. All these Muslims ain't hugging their phonies, in my book.
Hey, Cat Stevens is a Muslim. Give him a break.
Yeah, and he belongs, he belongs in another country, too.
He is
in England.
He is in another country.
Yeah, in England.
Stay there. Missing the money soon. He'll be trying to come back. Don't worry.
Probably.
And this show welcomes the opinion of any Muslim like to call in and talk to us about it.
Jesus Christ, you don't want that. You never know who's going to call in.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized.
Kind of show. This show is really
Please
good.
Try again.
What happened?
JP?
Hello?
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 Hello, Dolly.
Well, hang on. We're gonna get an unbiased opinion there. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, hello.
Hey, how
you
doing,
up,
Andrew?
Man?
Good.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. Hey, respects, Peter.
Respects to you, brother. And I
what
will
do
you, get
you what do you
my
think
movie.
About what you just heard, Andrew?
Yeah, let's hear from yeah.
Hey, Pete.
Yeah,
let him talk.
The story of the bike, the building of the bike. I mean, that is just so cool. You can't do enough for the veterans of this war or any past war that an American has fought in.
Right on.
Exactly.
We got one more caller we want to get an opinion from.
And then I got a question for Andrew. After Andrew, hang in with this. I got a question for you directly.
Okay.
Caller 231.
Teresa, you're live.
Teresa, hello.
Hi there. How are you? Hello.
Teresa, where are you calling from, please?
I'm in Michigan.
Michigan.
How do you feel about what you heard since you've been listening, Teresa?
Well, I think there are good and bad in every gender, culture, religion, lifestyle. And you can't make a blanket statement that everybody is all of one thing, because we're all individuals.
Right.
Okay. What do you think about what Diane's doing this program for the vets, building a custom motorcycle, having military build it on a military base? That's kind of a different twist.
I think that's totally amazing. And I would really love to have them on my show, but we're trying to work that out.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Teresa.
Hey.
I'm sorry. I wish we would have been able to connect today. This has just been one of the crazy weeks for us, but maybe next week, if it's not too busy with the holiday. It's just hard for us to know what our schedule is, especially during the day.
Yeah. Let me know when you're available, and I'll set up a special show. Everything does happen for a reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I just got a message here, and this came in. Art actually sent this to me. But this is a national call to action immediately, because everyone needs to let the president know that he must veto this horrible piece of legislation. This recent bill is SB 1867, voted on, passed through the Senate. It's called the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2012. It's It's pertaining to the detention and imprisonment of U.S. citizens by the U.S. military without trial or jury, and is not only a threat to every law-abiding citizen in this country, but to our Constitution as well. Our Bill of Rights is being thrown out the window.
Well, the Patriot Act threw out the Bill of Rights.
Nope.
When they came in, we gave up everything. It seems that to me.
Bill, here's your thing here. A person who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11th. A person who was part or substantially supported Al-Qaeda. Position under law of war. The disposition of any person under the law of war described in subsection A. Detention under the law without any trial until the end of the hostilities authorized for use of military force. Trial under Chapter 47A of Title 10, United States Code, Military Commissions, as of 2009.
I don't think Gino even wants to take him to trial. I think Gino just wants to kill him. What do you think, Gino?
We fall asleep, Gino?
Oh, no, I'm driving.
Well, then how are you going at 11 o'clock at night?
Home.
No.
I have a brother that's got diabetes, and he just laying there and on oxygen, and I stay with him for a while watching football until he falls asleep. He's falling asleep.
You sure he fell asleep, Gino?
Yeah, well, yeah, his wife's there taking care of him.
Get back to Andrew for a second. Andrew, you still out there?
Yes, I am, sir.
He's
you do not have a motorcycle rider to get involved with us like that, but do you have a motorcycle? I'm curious.
I did, but I had to sell it due to hard times.
That's almost every American story. Tell me how you met these two guys, Pete and Gino. I'd love to hear this story. I really want to hear this one.
Well, actually, I met Peter on Facebook, and I really admired him for getting clothes together to go hand them out under the 5th Street Bridge.
Thank you,
and
brother.
And I noticed he was making a DVD about his life and what he's going through. And I have myself, my sister has cerebral palsy, and I know the trials and tribulations that she has gone through. And I mean, I have to give respects and admire Peter for what he's doing.
Thank you, brother. That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah, Pete even helps me on my Facebook. I don't do it.
Yeah, Gino, as far as Andrew meeting Gino, I think I sent over a friend suggestion. But Gino basically, Gino's now making a DVD about his life.
Yes,
and Gino and I, we help people together. So, but that's very nice of you to say, brother. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
It wasn't easy making that movie, you know. And I got a copy waiting for you. So I know you want one.
Yes, I do very much so.
And you know, and I'm just, you know, I'm probably what? How far do you think I am from you?
Yeah, 15-20 minutes.
Yeah, not far at all. We're all out in the sticks, you know, out here.
Andrew, you're from Massachusetts also, correct?
Correct, sir.
Yeah, we all live north of Boston, basically, out in the woods.
All right.
Almost on the New Hampshire border.
Just nosy.
Okay, Diane has to leave. She's gonna talk to us later. Thank you for calling in, Diane.
All right, bye, Diane. Bye, Diane. Take care.
Diane.
Bye,
keep up the good work.
Yeah.
I'll put you in prayer, me and the club.
Yeah, Pete, we're going to keep you involved in this program. They're just now getting us into this here. We'll keep you abreast of what's happening here. The idea of
we're
going
to keep everybody abreast of what's going on.
Especially
here,
Pete, though. I think Pete will get a kick out of this here. We're going to try to go across a military base. They've already located it. We're going to teach these wounded vets how to put a motorcycle together, probably use some radio, probably some TV exposure, yada, yada, yada. But mostly
we want to give the vets something that they can do that's special. And I think building their own motorcycle, that's pretty damn special.
Yeah.
All right. All right, cool.
Well, I'm logging off because I'm signing off. I got to call my honey bunny, and I know Gino has to take his.
Yeah, I got to call my Rose.
He's going to drink a warm glass of milk before he goes to bed, so.
I got to call the Sicilians.
It's past your bedtime, Gino.
Yeah, it is.
But thanks for having us on. See you Tuesday.
Of course.
Phil, I'll talk to you before then, anyway.
And
okay.
Whatever. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah.
See you back to you.
All right. See you Tuesday. Take care, everybody. Talk to you soon, Andrew, and I'll have that copy of the film for you. We'll meet up.
All right. Great. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Respects to everybody. Love and respects to everybody out there. Night.
Happy holidays.
All right. Good night.
Thank you.
Good
night. Same to you. Bye now.
We still got a line left.
Well, we got Fran just called in. We got Art from Poway.
Is Art coming down Sunday?
He's going.
Did he mention that?
He's going to the toy run also.
Okay.
And then
good.
We have Teresa from Michigan.
We still got Fran online.
Fran, are you there?
619. You're live and well, Fran.
Yes, I did sign on. I've been trying to take care of business in the house. But, yes, I am going to be there on the blanket cover-up.
Okay, wonderful.
I have some flyers made, so there's things in the works. Guess life is good. We're all above ground. If they're listening to this, they better be above ground.
Brian, will you be coming down your car or truck to the event on Sunday?
Coming down on bike, of course.
I know, Fran. I'd love to ask you that question, though. Fran rides her bike every chance she gets, like Screwdriver and I. We simply think that it's therapeutic for us to ride the motorcycles. But I want to emphasize it always because, again, people think, well, Fran's a girl. She doesn't ride as hard as we do.
Are you just cruising for a bruise?
Pull the motorcycle.
Well, I'll tell you what. I paid the visit to the surgeon yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I had a very serious question because there are some events, as you know, coming up within the next month. And I'm having knee surgery on the 23rd. And so I said to him, I need to go on the Dead Bird Run. And I figured I'd give John his last ride. Hopefully he doesn't fall off the back of the bike. But talk about being bitch seat, whatever. But at that point, it would be 7 days since I had the surgery, and the surgeon says, well, are you putting any pressure on it, the leg now, when you're riding the bike? And I says, well, no, I've worked around that because of, you know, the knee being bad. And he says, well, then you shouldn't probably have any problems in 7 days getting back on your bike and riding. I says, well, so be it. What's also interesting is he asked another question. And the other question he asked was, this is why are bikers, always so healthy? And that even though we have aches and pains, we just continue. We just get up and go. And it's like, well, it's a way of life. Two, primarily we're always in the wind. And our lungs are always being exposed to all different types of elements. And being bikers, we don't give up. No matter how bad it is, and I remember a few times it was bad, but we don't give up. Whether it hurts or not, we still saddle up and go.
Fran, I was telling our New York listeners, our East Coast listeners, that Screwdriver and I both got caught in the rain today. Did it rain down San Diego today?
We just had a huge drop now.
We've had it. That's good coming out here.
I didn't get any when I was out today. And I had the car because I had a number of things that I had to deliver. And instead of trying to do it all off the back of the bike, which would have meant several trips, I decided to do one trip with everything in the car. So... But, no, I was lucky. I didn't get rained on today.
Well, I want to share that with our especially East Coast people because we're always saying how beautiful it is here, and yet both of us got slammed with. It stopped raining down here in North County already, but.
It was just raining on the coast, Bill. Once I got 2 miles inland, it was done.
I've got a story for you. And, of course, this goes back a couple years ago, like 15. And I brought my bike in to Mike, and Mike and Rob are looking at my bike. I was having trouble with my kickstand, and I couldn't get the best of me because I couldn't see anything. And now he's dancing around real politely, saying such as things as, "Do you wash your bike a lot?" I'm looking at my bike, and you know what my bike looks like, okay?
Yes.
I'm not a polish girl. I just don't do that. You know, it gets done when John would pay to have it detailed. the poor guy that would look at it would like, oh my. And so then finally I says, wash it? You gotta be kidding. Then he finally comes out and says, "Well, do you ride in the rain?" And I was like, "Well, of course I ride in the rain. Who doesn't?" And he looked at me and he said, "The majority of people in San Diego." he was beyond him that the fact that a woman would ride her bike in the rain. I mean, Red and I, we went to an Abate Local 11 meeting. We were the only three that showed up at Lake Wolford on bikes. And it was,
wow.
It was a little rainy, you know, at best. But, hey, isn't that what we do? I mean, that's like saying you can't go to the movies or you can't go out because it's raining. It's like, we're not going to melt.
Brad, I want to tell you, a couple of years back, I was invited down to San Diego. It was a meeting in a bar about some issues that were going on. This bike club asked me to show up. Myself and Brian Walker, a good friend of ours, we drove from North County through the pouring rain all the way to the waterfront bar. I don't know if you know where that is, downtown San Diego.
Oh,
God,
yes, it's still there. It's
rained. I got there. Not one of these members brought their motorcycle. Not one. They all drove their cars and trucks. I stayed for the meeting. We took care of this and that. We talked about that. To this day, when I see this one club, I just turn my back on them. These guys could have rode a half a mile, a mile. I rode 30 miles in the pouring rain, and they come down in their trucks and their cars. I've never forgiven them for that. Not that I think I'm anything special, but the damn motorcycle's meant to drive all the time.
It's funny you put it that way, because when John and I drove cross-country, we were back east for my aunt's 90th birthday, and by the way, she's 100 now. But it was raining, and everybody was trying to get us to bring our bikes into the garage. And we're looking at everybody. It was like, would you ask somebody with a car to go bring your car into the garage because it was raining? I mean, the bike isn't going to shrink. I mean, if it does, heck, I want my money back.
Right.
But people just don't look at a motorcycle or us as...
Tell you about getting wet, if I can.
Sure.
I've got a measurement, okay? Riding down the road, and if I got my chaps on and off, the bottoms of my feet get wet first, okay? And then it gets... And because I'm sitting at an angle, my knees down get soaking wet. But then at some point in time, I got to tell you, the official statement for me when it's raining and it's pouring and I'm wet is when the water goes down the crack of my ass. When that it gets there, I go, okay, now I'm damn soaking wet. Other than that, I ain't worried about it. But when it just trickles down my ass, I go, okay.
You know, Bill, hold on.
There's nothing
hold
left.
On. Hold that thought.
Okay.
We have a special caller from Scotland, Bill.
Scotland.
Ah, cool.
We lost her.
And Scotland left already. Must have been the crack of my ass that lost the conversation. Try
well,
to be more, you know,
She said she wanted a good laugh, too.
For the riders that are out there, I am going to give them a riding tip. When it is cold, when you shower, you purchase baby gel. It's a little thicker than baby oil, but not as thick as Vaseline. And you put that on your body, you pat your body dry, and you'll stay 10 degrees warmer or more, but you can't put it on your feet because your feet have to perspire.
That's correct.
And I tell you what, if you're cold, then just put that baby gel on, and you're going to do just fine.
You know, Fran, back in the 60s and 70s, we really didn't have chaps. And when we'd do, like, our trips to Sturgis and all that, I would stop and buy a newspaper.
Yes.
All I would do, boys and girls, wrap the newspaper around my legs, wrap the newspaper across my chest, and off I'd go, put the jackets and everything over. That's what kept us warm in those days. Now, of course, everybody has chaps and everything sophisticated. But back in the days, it was just newspaper. That was our insulation. That's a fact, Jack.
When Kent and I went to Alaska, I actually had brought two motorcycle water repellent pants. They were worthless.
Mm-hmm.
It rained so bad in Washington State that I actually pulled into a True Value hardware store and bought what I call is duckware, and that is that yellow water plastic, whatever you want to call that rain gear. And I'll tell you what, when it rained, I put that rain gear on, and I was just fine.
Fran, let me share this with you. My first trip to Sturgis, 3 days of solid rain. I was just soaking wet and miserable. I stopped at a Walmart, and I was walking around just aggravated and miserable. I strolled into the sporting goods section, and there I saw a mannequin in a fishing outfit. He had wader boots on. I bought them, drove the rest of the way to my Sturgis in brown OD wader boots. For the first time in days, my feet were dry.
That's so funny because, yeah. Now, for the more modern day, because I found that wearing waterproof boots are such a disaster because I tested out a lot of equipment before I went to Alaska. My feet have never been right since. But what I found is in REI, they have these socks that are called seal socks. They're actually designed for bicyclists. And what these socks will do, it's kind of a neoprene kind of sock, is it will keep your feet dry, but you have to move your feet, your toes every so often because they get that clammy feeling, but your feet are dry. And that's what I used when again, up in Alaska, I was wearing those socks. You do need to put another pair of socks over them just to keep your feet from wearing those socks out. But those are great. In fact,
yeah.
I loaned them to someone else, and they never came home.
That's probably why.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I figure it this way. They must have used it more than I did. So it's all good.
You know, Fran, when I was up in Alaska for a while, what year were you up in Alaska? Do you know what year it was?
Kent and I were up there in 05.
Okay. Way, way, way back in the 60s in Alaska, the early 70s, you know what those hardcore bikers were wearing? Their jeans?
I haven't a clue.
Pantyhose.
Yep.
Not pantyhose.
Yep.
Hey, you know, we didn't have this fit. I never wore pantyhose.
Don't lie.
I never wore pantyhose. Those hardcore bikers wore up here.
I never wore pantyhose. Stockings with the garter, Bill?
Well, that's true, Fran. Back in the day up there, those hardcore bikers
wore
pantyhose.
Back in the day you wore stockings with the garter?
You don't have to worry about old age. You keep pushing me, buddy. But that's true, Fran. Back in the day and all that.
Well, I didn't like wearing pantyhose back then either, so.
In Alaska, maybe it was a good idea.
Yeah. Although, I'll tell you what, it was a good investment buying the long johns.
Yep. There's a lot of problem in Alaska in the early days because they put a lot of salt on the roads, and that would eat up your brake pads. And you'd be going down the road, and it would just hit the brake pad, nothing. Wintertime in Alaska, or right after they put all that salt on the road, it just tore the motorcycles up severely. I was in the Fairbanks area. Where were you at up in Alaska, Fran?
Well, Wasilla, all the way out to Homer. There's that one town that you go through the tunnel, and it's the only tunnel that is used by trains, people, and cars. And that was kind of neat, except for you really don't want to do it with a bald tire, because now you're actually on the center of the road with all the grease, and you kind of slip slide all the way through the tunnel. Did that.
Hmm. Brandon, I want to tell you, when I was over in Norway going around the fjords, and the fjords were beautiful, two-lane roads going around the sides of the fjords, every now and then you come to a turn in the road, and if anybody from Norway can hear this, they'll explain this. Two lanes become one lane, and you have a mirror. You look in the mirror to see who's coming. If nobody's coming, feel free to use a single lane. Again, I'm going to repeat that. Two lanes, when you come to a turn, it goes to one lane. You have to look in the mirror, see if any traffic's coming. How's that for taking a chance?
Well, life's a chance.
There you go.
I wouldn't stop just because of that, though.
No.
Life is a chance, and you got to just go for it.
That's why people always ask me about, well, you're in Mexico a lot, Bill, and you don't speak Spanish, and you go to Europe. You don't speak any languages. What if something happens to you? I say, then I'll deal with it when I cross that bridge. I'm not afraid of life. I'll deal with it as it comes. But my not being able to speak foreign languages never precluded me from visiting. And that's why I love Mexico. I don't know what the hell they're saying down there, but I'm on a Harley. They seem to like, I'm on a motorcycle. My choice is a Harley. But I think that motorcycle people, we're more vulnerable. We're not approachable. I think people just like talking to people on motorcycles more so than like a city bus where you get about 20 tourists get off. That just kind of overwhelms the local people.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because when I came home from Alaska, I traveled home alone, which really freaked a lot of people out, but that's besides the point. What was interesting is the statement you made is any time that I did stop for, like, dinner or whatever, stop for gas, people always wanted to talk to me.
Yeah, because you're approachable, you're vulnerable, they want, yeah.
I mean, I had a great time. I really did. You know, 2.5 months being gone, I did get homesick when I was in Stoiges.
I try to go to Sturgis a week before the event. That way I can see Mount Rushmore, I can see Crazy Horse, and I can get there before the long lines come up. Because
that's
once
what
all
I did.
Those people, it's not fun at all.
That's
but
what
I want
did.
To be there for the party when the people are there. The sights, I like to leave a week before. I think that makes me give a little more access to everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoyed the actual being up there. I got Friday night, I got to do my laundry. Once it turned into the big Sturgis weekend, then it was a little bit of problems.
I try to leave the day before Sturgis ends so I can beat that gas station mess. Because everybody's rolling out at once. You could be 15, 20, a half hour in a gas station. Nah, I try to leave a day before. Like, I leave on a Saturday, so when those guys that wait until Sunday, they got to fight all that gas station bullshit.
I still had another 3 days, 4 days, and it was, you know what? I was just staying in the campsite, just watching life go by.
Yeah.
It was just way too much hassle. And I enjoyed it, you know, being there beforehand. You know, being just to watch, talk to people. Met a lot of really nice bikers. Even in 05, which, I mean, there are a number of women riders now. It's not like back in the 70s. But it still fascinated a large number of the bikers that a woman would ride and ride alone. In fact, I encountered that today at work, where a person asked me, to, well, who are you going to ride with? And I looked at this man, and I said, well, I'm going to ride alone. I mean, I don't have to ride with anybody to drive cross-country or anything. And it was almost as if the old courtesy of maleness of, well, a woman should have a man at her side. I was like, hell no. I've done that, you know, traveled well before alone. So it's not good.
When I stopped in Denver on one of my trips to Sturgis, because I went over the mountains there, Denver, Aspen, I dropped in there. I was getting some fuel and all that, and I saw met these two girls on Sportsters. Not really great mechanics and all that. They seemed like good girls. We're talking. I said, where are you going? Of course, they're going to Sturgis. Everybody's going to Sturgis. I said, it's kind of rare to find two girls taken off by themselves. They said, oh, no, we've got old men at home. They belong to a club. I won't say the club's name like that. I said, well, how come you're on your own? The guys didn't want to go to Sturgis, so we told them, learn how to cook. They loaded up their two, they took off. I thought that was the best thing I could, Fran. I laughed for an hour, I swear to God.
Well, but you
their stuff, they went to them.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
Yep.
That's funny, but yes. I mean, that's...
Fran, if I could, I don't know why I'm telling so many stupid stories. I want to tell you one more story, please. It's kind of important to me.
Yeah.
Up to the KOA campground, and on my panhead, and by myself, a guy come down from Canada with his wife, a 650 Yamaha or something, I don't know. He pulled in and made a circle of the campground and pulled up next to me, and he said, hey, man, mind if I, you know, crash out here? I said, man, be me my guest. He said, we're just married. We're on our way down to San Diego. I said, I just left San Diego. We're sitting there for a little bit, and we're trying to get the fire going. Two brothers from Nebraska came down on two more metric motorcycles, and they made a swoop of the campground. They said, hey, guys, mind if we join you? They're putting the stuff out. I'm putting my stuff out. About a half hour, just before dark, a BMW rider comes in with a very young girl. It's his daughter. They're from New York. They're on the way to L.A. Up around the camp, came over and joined us. We had a mulligan stew. We talked about the traffic ahead, the traffic behind. We talked about weather. We were total, complete friends. And in the morning, total strangers in the morning, meeting the campground, KOA campground, best of friends in the world. The next morning, everybody loads up. Everybody goes in a different direction. And I tell people, that probably is the best example of the universe of brotherhood of motorcycle people getting together. They saw another motorcycle. That's all they needed to join me. And I'm on my Stretch Radical Panhead. Just pull right up. Do you mind if I join you? Fran, if it could always be like that, it would be a wonderful world, wouldn't it?
Well, Bill, we're over the limit here, and I was going to let us, the soldier Silent Night take us out.
Good, because my stomach is anything but silent. So all our good friends, Phillip's got something he wants everybody here tonight. The soldiers.
And we'll see you guys Sunday, but you might want to check this out.
It was the night before Christmas.
My favorite song.
He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give to see just who in this dwelling did live. I looked all around. Strange sight to see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stockings on the mantle, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. Medals and badges, words of every kind. A sobering thought came alive in my mind. This house was different. It was dark, it was dreary. I had found the home of a soldier. I could see that most clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. His face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not at all how I pictured the United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I've just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? Then I realized the other families that I saw this night owed their lives to soldiers who were willing to fight. In the morning round the world, children would play. Grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. But they all enjoy freedom each month of the year because of soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help but wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in lands far from home. The very thought put a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees. I started to cry. The soldier awakened. I heard his rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. They don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted asleep. But I couldn't control it, and I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, as both of us shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave him on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over, and a voice soft and pure, he whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day, all secure." One look at my watch, I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend. May God bless you this night.
What do you say to that?
Good night, and God bless all the women in the armed forces, especially those who will not be home for Christmas. We love you all. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, all.